You doing good this morning? Great. Well, it's so good to be together, and as you can tell, we're excited about conference next week, and it's just going to be a great time. But even believing today that God wants to speak to each and every one of us, and whoever you are, wherever you find yourself today, let's open our hearts to what God has to say. And if this is your first time at Icon Church, then we want to say welcome home, and it's great to be together today. So come on, let's welcome everyone again. So good to be together. Why don't we just take a moment? Let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you. We commit ourselves right now. We say we're listening. So would you speak to us right now? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you say hello to two or three people? Give them a high five, fist bump, a hug, a handshake this morning. Debbie's just playing with kids' toys on the front row here that are making a lot of noise. If you don't know, that's my wife, Debbie, and we are campus pastors here, and yes, Debbie does like playing with kids' toys. Now, we have three boys, and yeah, it's so amazing to be together today. I want to speak to us from the subject, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart, and for anyone who wants to follow along with my notes, and for all of those who are taking notes, my regular joke is 65% of people who take notes enter heaven, and if you've never seen Anchorman, then you will not get the joke, and it just flies over your head. But anyway, you can take notes, or you can follow along with my notes, scan that, or even go on the Bible app that is on your phone, press the three lines, find events, and then you'll find Icon Church there. And the notes are on there today for you to follow along with. Prepare your heart. As I was thinking and praying about speaking this morning, it's kind of my prayer was, God, what would you want to say the week before Icon Conference? What would you want to say to us as a church? But what would you want to say to us individually as a church? And, you know, I didn't hear the audible voice of God or anything like that, but it was this word preparation. It was this word preparation, preparing ourselves for what God wants to do. And came across this verse in Hosea 10 and verse 12 that says this, "Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." And it was this phrase, "break up your unplowed ground," that I want us to dive into today. But that word preparation, I don't know, but it's not an exciting word to me. For some people, that word preparation or preparing or even planning is an exciting word for people. Like they love the moment where they get to plan things out. I've gone quiet. Turn me up. Get me turned up. And can you hear me in the back? I don't want to hold it like this. Hold on. The buffy is now open. I said the buffy is. No, anyway. But where was I? People planning. Anyone a planner in the place? All right. About 5% of the place. Anyone does not get excited by planning? Anyone never raise their hand in church? Got you. And that joke is getting used a lot in church. And we'll get thrown in the dead joke section very soon. But that planning and preparation does not excite me, except when I go on holiday with my in-laws. And if you're watching this back, Tracy and Gavin, yes, I am going to call you out. But my in-laws, when they go on holiday, they just want to relax. The problem is we've got three boys, and just doing nothing does not work, because For anyone with young kids knows that they will just run riot. They will go crazy. They will like, oh, let's just hang out at the villa that we're staying in. No, because they are going to go absolutely crazy, stir crazy. There's only so many hours that they can go swimming for. We tested it. It's about 8. Okay. And so I'm in that stage now where the night before the next day, I am asking the question, what are we doing tomorrow? Because I want to plan, what time are we getting up? What time are we getting dressed? What time are we leaving the house? When we went on holiday with my parents and Dave and Lucy, we had a great time. But my mum and dad just sit there ready to go. They're like ready an hour before. And, you know, they don't realize we got 3 boys and I've got Debbie. This morning, Debbie realized it takes her 3 hours to get ready for church. Now she does do stuff with the boys and she gave them breakfast. Whoa, 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 hold on. I got them dressed. Hold on, I brushed their teeth. Hold on a minute. While Debbie was changing from her 4th outfit upstairs for this morning. But well done, you look good. But planning does not excite me except in those moments where I want to know, what are we doing? It got to the point on holiday where we just left because we had 2 cars and we're like, we're going here, and we could just see the kids going stir crazy, and Debbie's parents are like in holiday mode. They're just relaxing and, you know, no blame on them. But we were like, get the boys in the car, then they're trapped. They can't run riot, and we are going somewhere. But that idea of planning or even preparation. And this word unplowed ground is simply ground that once produced fruit, that was once prepared for fruit to produce. Once there was a plan for this ground that actually it would produce fruit that brought about life. But this unplowed ground is simply ground that once produced that fruit, but now has become unproductive through lack of cultivation. It's land that is lying idle. It's that land where you see it, where everyone takes the shortcut and doesn't walk on the path that was designed for them. You ever done that walk where you walk and then you just see where everyone else has taken the shortcut and it's just become land that is lying idle? I want to say to us today that many of us are in our lives, we're doing a lot of waiting, but not a lot of preparing. We're doing a lot of waiting around and waiting, but actually there's something about preparing. That for many of us, we don't want to prepare because maybe that takes a little bit of work. Maybe that takes some element of looking in to ourselves, even looking into our lives. And many times that can be a problem or a struggle for us to have a realization of what's really going on in our lives. We don't prepare. You know, even like little examples, like we go to an interview, but we don't prepare for the interview. And yet we're just expected to turn up. Marriage, there's a preparation needed before marriage. That's why we do the marriage preparation course, whatever it's called. And we let Gavin Jane do that, all of that. Benjamin Franklin said it like this: by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. And if we don't prepare, we don't prepare our hearts, we don't prepare our lives, we don't prepare ourselves, it's then very difficult to know how we're going to handle a situation. It's very difficult for us to know how we're going to walk into our future. It's very difficult for us to know how we're going to face that circumstance. And so preparation is a moment where we even predetermine our response to a situation. Preparation is how we're going to handle a situation. And I want to encourage us today that actually we've got to prepare our hearts for what God has for us. That there's a preparation that is needed in our hearts and our lives for the purpose of God. that there are many things that are going to come at us in the world. There are going to be many things that are going to try and divert us and get us off track. And if our hearts are unprepared and they're unplowed and they're not ready, they're not cultivated for the life that God has for us, for many of us, we can easily get distracted. We can easily get caught off path. We can easily miss what God is saying to us. And that's what I want to encourage us to do today, to prepare our hearts for what God has for us, to prepare your heart for what God has for you. Because I've come to realize this, we're waiting for a move of God, but God's already moving. Now, I believe it. God can do immeasurably more. I think we should pray into that. I think we should believe for more. I think we should pray that God would move and God would do that. I think that's God's heart. But I've come to realize that God's already moving. Sometimes we ask for the Holy Spirit. Yes, ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I also realize the Holy Spirit's been sent. We don't have to wait. He's been sent. He's already been sent in our lives. And so it's not a moment of I'm waiting. No, God's here. God's ready to move. God, the Holy Spirit wants to work. It's a moment of preparing our hearts. Preparing our hearts for his word, for what he has for each and every one of us. It's a moment of preparing ourselves. I want to take an example actually in 2 Chronicles, verse 12, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And it's a guy called King Rehoboam. What a great name. And says King Rehoboam established himself firmly in Jerusalem and continued as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel in which to put his name. His mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonite. He did evil because he did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. He did not set his heart on seeking the Lord. That his heart had become hard. That his heart was not set on seeking God. And so King R, as I'm going to call him, because I'm not saying Rehoboam all the time. But King R, as we'll call him today, did evil. Why? Because his heart wasn't set on seeking God. That he didn't walk into the plans or the purpose or what God had for him. He didn't realize God's goodness in his life. Why? Because his heart was not set on seeking God. Have you ever asked the question, how did I get here? How did I end up in this moment? How did I end up where I am right now? And I think many times that's because we neglect to seek God. We neglect to seek God for what he has for us. And so we can never assume the health of our heart. We can never assume the health of our heart, but we can prepare it so we can receive what God has for us. We can prepare it so we can receive the words that God has for us, the life that God has for us. We can prepare it because God is at work. God is moving. That God wants to reveal things to us. That God wants us to rest in his presence and his peace that's available for us. But I believe it's about a preparation of our heart for what God has got for us. I love this because sometimes we look at an example like King R here. And we might say, well, how did that come about? What's his background? And maybe that has some element on it. But actually, King R, let me get this right, was the grandson of King David, who is probably, like we would read Psalms that David wrote about seeking God. He would say things like, there's one thing that I seek, and that's you, God. There's one thing that I want to seek, and that's you, God. And so it's not hereditary. It's actually a personal thing that we have to prepare our heart. We have to prepare our heart for what God has got for us. And we all have the power to prepare our heart. We all have the power today to prepare our hearts and begin to do it. And just as Hosea wrote, maybe today is a moment to break up the unplowed ground. Maybe today is a day to go, do you know what? I've not attended to my heart. I've not cultivated it. Today it might be a realization that it's not producing the fruit that I want it to produce. And so today is a moment to break up the unplowed ground of your heart. And the beauty is this, we don't do this alone. We don't do this alone. That it's not in our strength, but we have the power of God available to us. For each and every one of us, we have the power of God available to us. And he's not just called us to sit on the sidelines. No, he's called us to a fruitful life. You know, and one of the first commands to Adam, go forth and multiply. There's a fruitful life for us. There's a life that brings about a fruit. There's a life that brings about the fruit that God has for us. And so we're not called to the sidelines. We're not called to just sit on the sidelines. No, God has got more for us. And God wants to give more for us. And so we have to prepare our hearts for what God has got to give. And so I want us to take a deep dive into some of Jesus' words right now for the last, I'll give you some hope, 15, 20 minutes. No, I will be done then. But I want us to take a deep dive into some of Jesus' words. It's found in Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9, and it's known as the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower says this, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. These verses in Matthew 13 are actually a picture of the condition of our heart. That there's a moment where the farmer, and Jesus is using this picture of a farmer coming and sowing seed, and where the seed begins to land, and where the seed of what God has for us and what Jesus has for us begins to land. And it's a picture of our heart, that where the seed lands determines its fruitfulness. Where the seed lands in our lives, it determines the fruitfulness. You see, the seed isn't up for debate. The seed's good. The seed is good. That what God has got for us is good. Like, God has good things. The Bible tells us God has good things in store for those who love him. Do you believe it? Yeah? Like, God has good things in store for us. So the seed is not up for debate. Our heart is what needs to be prepared. That it's actually a moment where we have to check our heart. Jesus is addressing the crowd, and he's talking about thoughts about their heart. What is your heart looking like? He's addressing a crowd, and maybe for some of them, they're not sure who he is, and they're asking the question, and you know, there's this debate going on. Is he the Messiah? Is he just a good teacher? All of this is going on, and he begins to prepare them like soil. He's preparing them for what's going to come. He's preparing them for the moment where he's going to be revealed as the Messiah. He's beginning to prepare their hearts, but there's going to be some seed that he's thrown out. The seed is going to be scattered around. The seed is going to be thrown out. The thing for me and you today is that the seed will get thrown out. The seed is scattered for us. What heart is it going to end up on? And so I want to take the example that Jesus used today and to begin to prepare our hearts today. And the first one is this: break up the path with the plow of forgiveness. Break up the path with the plow of forgiveness. That path actually reminds me of those verses in Hosea where it says this unplowed ground, that this would be the place where the farmer walked. That it would be the place where the farmer walked. Now, we would have our pathways that are nicely tarmacked, unless you live on a brand new build estate like me, and then you just got holes, potholes everywhere, raised iron works and everything. You've had a letter through the post saying they're going to come and tarmac, but they've not told you when, and you won't be able to use your drive for a day, but we don't know when and all of that. So who knows what's happening on my estate here. But this path would have just been soil that's just been walked on. It's where the farmer would have walked and thrown out the seed. It's where the farmer would have begun to do it. And it's the first soil that Jesus begins to talk about. Why? Because he's saying nothing is beyond repair. Nothing is beyond repair. That there's this path that gets walked on every day. And it looks like it's just hard ground. Nothing could happen here. Nothing could happen here. But here's what Jesus is saying. There's nothing beyond repair. There's no heart that is beyond repair. You may be here today. You may be saying, you don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what's going on in my heart. I don't, but God does. And God loves you and God is for you. And there's no heart. You don't know. Don't matter how trampled it feels like that today you can begin to plow that up. And you can begin to plow it up by using the plow of forgiveness. Because I find that for many people, it happens that our heart feels trampled and feels like a path because of circumstance or things that may have happened to us. That there may have been things that happened to us, things that people have done, and it just tramples on our hearts and it creates a hard heart. You see it all over Scripture, actually, where it says that their hearts were hardened. There are moments where you see it that people's hearts were hardened, and then all of a sudden, they're not able to hear what God has got to say. Probably the best example of this is Pharaoh with Moses. Moses comes and basically just says, "Let my people go." You've all seen the movie. "Let my people go." But the Bible tells us that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, would not receive the message, would not receive the message. And for many of us, our hearts can become hardened and can feel like the path and feel like nothing can grow on it, nothing can produce fruit on it because of the circumstance and everything that has happened to us. And I believe we can begin to plow up that ground with forgiveness. To begin to plow up that ground with forgiveness. You know, we've had a saying in Icon Church many times: forgive everyone, everything, every day. Forgive everyone, everything, every day. And it's a moment where, you know what, I'm determining and I'm preparing my heart for what God has got for me. That I'm determining today that even though this may be a struggle, even though this may be hard, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to have forgiveness in my heart that actually today that I get to do it. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing, and it's hard, and I'm not here to say, oh, it's easy. No, actually preparing our hearts are hard. Preparing our heart is hard, but actually if we'll begin to do the hard work of it and begin to prepare, the rewards are so much greater. Just thinking about the holiday with my in-laws, actually when we prepared to do something and we did something, made for better days, especially for us anyway. But it made for better days. But there's a moment of preparing your heart for it. While we were on holiday with Debbie's parents, we were in Portugal, and we went to this beach one day, and Zion saw out on the sea, the big inflatable that you can go on with the slides and all of that. And on that day, he said, "I want to do that." And so we said, "Okay, we'll come back," and we found out how much it was, and we'll do it. And So I said, well, I'll do it with you. Now, I hate going in the sea because it just tastes horrible. Like salt water. Now, I've just got to get something off. Who creates, as well, right, when you go on holiday abroad, you go to a water park and it's salt water and you're flying down a slide and it's all in your eyes and in your mouth and everything and it's stinging. Anyone with me? All right, I'm on my own today. But I was willing to go in the sea with Zion and swim out to this inflatable. Well, it gets to the day. We get to the day and it's a bit windy the day. And as we get in the water, it's freezing and it tastes horrible. And so I'm like, Zion, just keep your mouth shut. And he's like, how do I breathe? And I went, you've got a nose, son. And so we get in the sea and it's a bit choppy and he gets so far and then all of a sudden he can't walk and he can swim and we got life jackets on, but he just would not go. He would not go and I'm getting frustrated because I'm thinking we've paid money for this, son. I'll drag you. I even showed him. I swam all the way out and swam all the way back. And I'm thinking, that were a waste of time because he just would not go. And then the guy said, if you come back at, they were really good. If you come back at a certain time, one of the guys will take you out in a boat. And Zion heard boat and thought, yes, amazing. It was a kayak. So there's me, Zion, and this guy over from Brazil who is part of it, and we're in this kayak and it's all over the place. And you could see Zion was going absolutely crazy and he was like, quick, get us over there. Well, we got over there and it was amazing. Amazing. He loved it, all of that. But then we had to swim back. And he's like, when does the guy come with the boat? And I went, well, we only get an hour and they only change lifeguards on here every 4 hours, Zion. I look over to the Brazilian lifeguard who was there and he's asleep on the inflatable. And so I said, you just got to do it. You just got to prepare yourself. You can do this. You got to prepare yourself. And there was a line that he could follow and everything. I said, you fell off of this inflatable that many times, son. You've been in the water. You know it's fine. And that moment where he just realized and he prepared himself and he did it. And there was a point coming back where I'm like, Zion, slow down. Slow down, because I keep getting salt in my mouth. Slow down. But preparing our hearts is really important. And it's a hard work. And many times we'll be able to see the fruit and the reward of what we see. You should have seen Zion when he came off the beach. He wasn't raving about the inflatables. He was raving about swimming back from the inflatables because he'd done something hard. He'd prepared himself. And I believe today that we can prepare and break up the path with the plow of forgiveness today. And we have to do that every day. The second thing is this, break up the rocky places with the plow of trust. Break up the rocky places with the plow of trust. I love this example Jesus uses actually where he talks about the rocky places, that it doesn't have much soil and it sprang up quickly. It's like it has a desire to grow. I think, I've been here. There's a desire to grow. But the problem is that it's tough in these situations. It's tough in these moments. It's tough because it's just shallow and it's not, the seed is not able to get deeply. And so there have been many moments, and I'll just be honest, in my life where I think God has put some seed in, but my heart's been a rocky place, maybe because of circumstance or situation or whatever's going on, and it's been a rocky place, and that seed has fell, and I've seen some element of fruit from it for a little time. But then the rocks have just suffocated it. And it's this rocky place. And all of a sudden, the soil was too shallow for it to really take root in my life. And there'll be moments where we have to prepare our hearts and begin to move the rocks and begin to plow and begin to trust that Jesus has the best for us. That actually we have to make a decision, just like I said at the start, that preparing that I'm gonna follow Jesus. that no matter what goes on, I'm going to trust in Jesus, that I'm going to trust in what he has for me, that I'm going to trust even if it doesn't mean that we won't face heartache. Sometimes when we hear preaching like this, it feels like, okay, so I can't like hurt. No, God says he's close to the brokenhearted. God says, hey, cast your cares on me because I care for you. He wants to know your cares, but that's a preparation of my heart to go, no, I'm putting my trust and my faith in God. That actually I'm going to place my worries on him, that I'm actually going to trust him with what's going on in my life. And it's actually, I'm going to remove the rocks of it and actually trust God and what he has for me. That I'm going to determine that I'm going to follow Jesus and what Jesus has for me, that I'm going to trust him. Because many people will have moments like this where there's rocky places and they'll see an element of God at work, but they don't do the work of preparing their heart and it gets tough and they just end up bailing. They bail on what God has got for us. But here, when we place our trust in God, we realize Jesus never lets us down. There are moments of heartache and hurt, and there are moments, but if we throw it on God, he'll never let us down. That he'll never let us down and has more for us. And it's a moment. I love it. There's a scripture actually that says, help my unbelief. Like, we can come to God, and even in moments, and we can throw that on God. That's trusting God. Help my unbelief. Rather than me trying to sort that out myself, no, I'm going to throw it on God and trust God and trust him, that I'm going to plow my heart with the trust of God, that it's a moment where I'm saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm trusting you, God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm trusting you, God. And you look back on your life and you realize God was doing more in the background than you see in the foreground. You look back on your life and you see situations and you see where God's hand was at work. You look back and you see God moving. And I really believe that even right now, God wants to prepare our heart and say, hey, break up that unplowed ground. Break up those rocky places with the plow of trust today. Break it up with the plow of trust. And the last thing, team are going to come back. Break up the thorns with the plow of peace. Break up the thorns with the plow of peace. That was the word I was looking for. It says this in Matthew 13 and verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. That this seed grew up, but it ended up getting choked by the thorns. Ended up being choked. It was starved of life. It was starved by the thorns of life. I don't know if you've, we've probably all experienced weeds in our life and just how relentless they are. And they just, you know, like they just keep coming back and they come back bigger and stronger. And thicker and more thornier and moments, and they just keep coming and coming and coming. And it just seems to like they overtake your garden in a matter of, feels like minutes. They overtake your garden. But a heart burdened with fear and worry actually can get choked out. The word that what God has got for us can begin to get choked out. And it's different than shallow. I believe it's that worry and that fear that begins to choke it out, that there's fruit there, but it's a moment where I've got to just begin to remove some of the thorns, some of those thorns that are in my life. I've got to begin to deal with it. And sometimes that comes around in church where we're scared to even step up or even step out in church, and we end up seeking after other things. But there's a peace for it. And peace isn't just a nice idea. Peace is a person. And it's Jesus in your life. It's Jesus that is the peace. He's known as the Prince of Peace for our lives. And today, to prepare our hearts from the thorns, we have to do that with the plow of peace. We have to do that by hearing his word and beginning to put his word into action. We've got to go out and we've got to weed and get rid of those thorns that begin to choke it out, and even rely on that peace to become that annoying person that just seems to have that peace that goes beyond any understanding. That annoying person that in a moment, in a situation where it seems like everything's lost, people say, yeah, you just seem so peaceful in this moment. You just seem so at peace. And it's because you've prepared your heart with the plow of peace. You've decided, hey, Jesus is that Prince of Peace for my life. That even what I'm facing right now, I can know peace. I can know the peace of God. That I can rest in His presence, in His goodness, believing He has good things in store for me, but even in this moment, believing that God is moving. Said it right at the start. God's moving. God's at work by His Holy Spirit. He's moving right now. The question is my heart open to receive what He has for me? Don't let your heart become hard. Today is a moment to plow that heart, that ground that maybe has not been plowed for a while. Begin to plow it together. Plow it with forgiveness, plow it with trust, plow it with peace. Begin to break up the soil of your heart and begin to prepare it. Because I love this and I want to finish with this. It says, right at the start, as Jesus begins to speak in Matthew 13, He told them many things in parable, and He said this: a farmer went out to sow his seed. He went out to sow his seed. He went out to sow his seed, and there was no caution. He's out there. He's just throwing the seed about. I was tempted to bring some seed and just begin to throw it out today. But then I thought I might have to get the hoover out. But God has no caution. Seed falls among the path. He's not worried. Seed fell among rocky places. He's not worried. Seed fell among the thorns. He's not worried. God is a good God, and He'll keep throwing out the seed. The seed is there. The seed is not up for debate. Today, He's throwing out the seed. Today, the question is, where's my heart at? Where's my heart at? So let's stand to our feet in a moment of response. God's moving. Place our trust in that God's at work, that God is moving. And today, your response could be, I just need to plow my heart. Maybe today it's forgiveness. Maybe that starts in your heart. Might even be a conversation that you need to take. Needs to take place, or it might just be a declaration. It might even just be a help. God, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive today, God. Help me to forgive. Today could be, for some of us, that moment of placing our trust in God, that we've moved away and we have this desire to grow, but it seems like the ground is tough and it's rocky and there's rocky things, but today I'm going to trust You, God. I'm going to trust You, God, and place my trust in You. But I really felt today that some people just needed to receive His peace. That there are thorns, there are worries, there are fears, there are many things that we could use the illustration as thorns that are growing in our lives, and it seems to just suffocate and suffocate what God wants to do. And today is a moment to receive His peace, to allow His presence and His peace to be at work in your heart. And so as we worship today and in this moment, just as response, that's you on any of those things, just begin to speak to God. Might be through the lyrics that we sing. or it might be in your heart to God, or even today it might even be out loud to God saying, God, I need your help. I need you. I want to receive this, what you have for me. He's scattering seed. He's throwing it out without caution today. He's at work and he's moving. Would you receive it today? Would you receive it in this moment? Thank you, Jesus. Help us to prepare our hearts for what you have for us.